Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast. Today is October the 12th. Hello, Scott.
Hello, Justin. 10 years at Grace Community Church.
Yeah. 10 Happy anniversary. Years. Yeah.
That's a long time.
It has. It's been a long time, but sometimes it feels like it was yesterday that I started. Yeah. So it's, you know, I'm sure everyone can say that about their job, right? Sometimes it feels like 20, and sometimes it feels like 2 days.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, we're grateful that you're here.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a wonderful journey, and looking forward, Lord willing, by His grace, 10 more and 10 more. Yep. We'll see what the Lord does.
Good. So. Good, good.
Well, we're on John chapter 4, or we were on Sunday. We've been walking through the book of John. We've been really camping out on the woman at the well. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is in Samaria. He's now with the woman at the well. And this discussion he has with her, we've spent now, this is our third week.
Yeah.
Yeah, on this text. And really, you talked verses 20 through 26. The conversation shifts a little bit. As she's with Jesus, and she's now beginning to ask questions of worship about Jesus. So if you would, give us a little bit of an overview and kind of the main theme that you were pulling out of the text on Sunday.
Okay. Again, we are at the two-day mission of Jesus among the Samaritans. You know, I don't have time to go back through all of that. Yeah. If anybody wants that history and why there was tension and why it's important that Jesus was in Samaria, go back and listen to the previous sermons. But he's there. And at this point, though, he's still just having that initial conversation with the woman who he meets at the well, Jacob's well, where he asks for water. So as you said, the conversation progresses along, and they get to this section where she asks him. She says, "I perceive that you're a prophet." Mm-hmm. And again, what's that about? Mm-hmm. Is she changing the subject because he's pressed in a little bit too close to her personal life? Or is she thinking, no, I've got a prophet. Why not ask a very important question that's been a point of debate between the Samaritans and the Jews for a long time? So she asks the question, is it, you know, it makes a statement, but there's a question implied. Our people say worship on this mountain, and your people say worship in Jerusalem. And Jesus sees behind that a question, and so he answers. So the answer to the question, what's the place? What's the locale of worship? True worship. Jesus then answers it. Mm-hmm. And again, listen to the sermon, but to cut to the chase, he said, it's neither here in Samaria at Mount Gerizim, nor is it in Jerusalem that true worship is going to happen. True worshipers are going to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Mm-hmm. And he says, the day is coming, and yet the day is now that the true worshipers will worship this way, and that God himself is seeking worshipers to worship him in spirit and in truth. So what we did on Sunday was try to understand a bit about what that means in spirit and in truth. So real quick, and then we can get on to the question. To worship in spirit and in truth is to worship from spiritual life, to worship because the Holy Spirit has made us new. You must be born again, Jesus said in the third chapter. To worship, as some people say, as spiritually alive, then you're worshiping the Father from the deepest part of the human spirit, from the heart, we call it. To worship in truth is to worship God according to the true way of worship, to worship God as he has revealed himself in truth, to worship the one living and true God. Mm-hmm. So you put all that together and you begin to see that there's this new covenant, new relationship, new day worship of God the Father that comes out of the hearts of people who are born of the Spirit and who are walking in the truth and worshiping according to the truth.
Right.
That's what God is doing in these days.
Yeah.
So that physical location, a mountain, is not the point.
Yeah.
But from the heart made new and according to the truth is the point.
Yeah. Now, and I think you talked a lot about this as well throughout the sermon, which I think will play into our conversation in a moment. But that worship sometimes for us, and it's not, you know, it's, I get it, it's a habit of ours, but we sometimes in our minds, when we think worship, we think about the singing segment of a Sunday morning.
Right.
And you spend a lot of time, based on what you just said, worshipers who worship in spirit and truth, of this whole life worshiper.
Yeah.
And that's what really Jesus is after here in the text. It's not just a moment of your week. It's your whole life. It's mm-hmm. it's everything from you're doing in your life being a worshiper of God.
Yeah.
I thought was really helpful.
Yeah, and two places that you could really see that is one in Deuteronomy chapter 6, mm-hmm. Moses giving the instructions to the nation of Israel. You're to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mm-hmm. all of your soul, all of your strength, all of your mind, right. all of your body, all of your being, whole life worship. Mm-hmm. And then the Apostle Paul mm-hmm. in Romans chapter 12, present your bodies a living sacrifice unto right. God, your whole selves
yep.
unto God, which is your spiritual worship,
yep.
not being conformed to the world, but being transformed. So yes, it's worship is more than just the act of singing.
Yep.
It's worship is a whole life devoted to God, and then the expression of that life devoted to God coming out mm-hmm. into all areas of obedience to God.
Yeah. And I think I was saying earlier, it's been very helpful, even this week, being with the Lord and His Word and asking myself the question, okay, how can I be that kind of worshiper?
Yeah.
A whole life worshiper? And where can God still work on me? Which He always is. But it's a very, very helpful sermon, I think, for us as a church. Which gets me to my next question.
Okay.
So we started this last week. I think it's helpful. You know, at Grace, we always talk about the congregation. Mm-hmm. We know it's made up of individuals, Scott, and we all have individual issues God's working on in our lives. Mm-hmm. But we're a body. We're a mm-hmm. flock together. Mm-hmm. So we started last week asking the question, how does this help shape us yeah. as a healthy congregation? Mm-hmm. So as we look at Jesus' word mm-hmm. about Him seeking worshipers, mm-hmm. whole life worshipers, how does this text, as you think about our church, help us mm-hmm. become that healthy congregation and continue to be a healthy yeah. congregation?
Good. First way I can think of is go to what we just said. Let's let the message be and the encouragement be, the exhortation be mm-hmm. that we are people called out by God, redeemed by Christ,
yeah.
to be holy devoted to Him. Mm-hmm. And let's always encourage among ourselves the expressions of a full devotion to Christ, a simple, mm-hmm. pure devotion to Christ. And that's primarily obedience.
Yeah.
Doing the will of God, seeking the will of God, living as the people of the kingdom of God, living practically in our relationship at church, our relationship with the world, as people of obedience and service and faith. And so that'd be the first way. Let's remember that that's worship. Worship is being born of the Spirit, walking and living according to the truth, wholly devoted to Christ. So we can keep that message there. A second way I think that we can apply this to our church and shape our church is let's don't neglect gathering to worship.
Yeah.
So Jesus did not say, when the question was, are we to go to this mountain or in Jerusalem? Jesus didn't say, well, you don't have to go anywhere. He said worship is in spirit and truth, but he always expected for His people who have been redeemed to gather together in spirit and in truth.
Yeah.
As spiritually redeemed, alive people to gather according to the truthfulness of the word, let's gather. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would say is let's be a gathering mm-hmm. time and space people. You know, another thing I would say is that let's always remember the necessity of regeneration.
Yeah.
Of the new birth. Let's pray and preach and share that God's Spirit would cause people to become spiritually alive and be born mm-hmm. again. Another way I think we can apply this is that part about the truth. Hmm. Let's shape our gathered worship around the truth of God. It is important who we worship and how we worship. I think that's something that maybe, Justin, people maybe misunderstand and misstate is mm-hmm. we might say, because worship is not about mere ritual or form, we might say, well, then it doesn't really matter how we worship. Well, that's not true.
Yeah.
Because even though it is not merely ritual or form, there are some very clear things in the Bible about the way we worship.
Yeah, that's good.
And that primarily is we worship by the word.
Yeah.
So the word is central. Mm-hmm. There's preaching, teaching, reading. Prayer is central. I mean, we're actually told in the Bible, when you gather, I want prayers to be offered up.
Yeah.
Worship does include singing. Mm-hmm. We're commanded in the Bible to sing. Mm. So basing our gathered worship on the truth. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, related to that, and still in that category of basing it on the truth, the things that we believe and say and sing about God have to be true.
Yeah.
So we have to have sound doctrine.
Yeah, that's
good. Or we're not worshiping the true and living God. I don't know what number I'm on. I think a fifth one, I would say, is maybe also this could shape us by us realizing that this is what God is doing around the world.
Yeah.
On earth. And that is redeemed people, born again of the Spirit, around the truth of the Word, gathered together, not on this mountain or that mountain, but wherever they happen to be, that's where you find worship.
Yeah.
That's what God's doing. So that should... That should cause every Christian in every part of the world to be very interested in the gospel going forth, by which the Spirit calls people out and gathers them into the church.
Yeah.
And so that means we should be about the mission.
Yeah.
So those are some quick ways I can think of that this simple little phrase, worship God in spirit and truth, can shape Grace Community Church. Yeah.
Wouldn't you say too, Scott, and it's probably tied to one of the five that you just mentioned, but at Grace, we talk a lot about mutual discipleship, mutual encouragement. That, you know, I remember from your sermon on Sunday, you talked about the importance that God be the object of our worship. And I think in this mutual encouraging practice that we have here at Grace, that we would be a congregation that would constantly remind one another, what is the object of our worship?
Yeah.
You may say, well, duh, that, I mean, that's pretty simple. But I think with the world speaking at us all the time, it's easy to go, okay, well, that needs to be the object of worship. And you're like, well, hold on, you know. And I think it's, I don't know, something that we should constantly be reminding one another, hey, what is the object of our worship right now?
God is.
And just that's where it needs to be.
Worshiping God and keeping ourselves rooted in
the word.
In God's word. And the truth about God, that's what we say, God's words. Not that we're trying to be, you know, just walking Bible dictionaries. The point of saying that, when we keep saying rooted in the word, is so we have we are worshiping God as he is.
Right.
The right God and worshiping God rightly.
Right.
Yeah. As the sovereign one living and true God. So, I mean, and right now too, you know, Justin, this is not a time to get on people, but I will say, when you mentioned mutual discipleship and we've mentioned the gathered people in spirit and truth, I mean, it is extremely important. You know, I'm talking to people and I'm sure you have too, that you know, there's a disorientation that still persists, that still goes on because people are just not around each other for mutual, you know, life on life encouragement to be worshipers of God. We need that desperately.
Yeah.
We need to be together as much as possible.
Yeah. And, you know, Scott, it's really interesting. I think more I've been at Grace. Sometimes that reminder of worshiping God can come like a direct conversation. Hey, Justin, I want to remind you, you know, let's get back to what we're called. Mm-hmm. Okay. But sometimes it's the simple of me looking to my left and right on a Sunday morning. And seeing people sing and be around the word. And it's like, oh yeah, that's what we're about.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's the subtle reminders. Mm-hmm. It's just seeing it practiced and going, that's why it's important to be at church. It's around God's people.
You know, this is getting into the real like structure of the way we do worship here at Grace. And maybe this is not the point. But I will say, because we're talking about worship in spirit and in truth, I will say that like recently, the past several months, one of the things that has been the most edifying for me in our Sunday gatherings at Grace is the congregational reading. You know, we did a little tweak, a couple of tweaks to the congregational reading. One, we made it congregational versus responsive. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to get all the voices reading together at that point. And then two, we've tried to put just a little bit of, you know, minute or two meaning in front of the reading to prepare hearts for it. And then when the congregation all together starts reading the Word of God, brother, that's powerful to me.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, it is very helpful to me as a Christian.
Yeah.
To hear my brothers and sisters with me verbalizing by faith God's word.
Yeah.
It's a worshipful act.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that, you know, of course we pray and we preach and we sing and, you know.
Yeah.
But right now that reading has been so helpful. So it's just one way that this is shaping our congregation to worship in spirit and truth.
Yeah. Well, great, Scott. Very encouraging Sunday. And I think as we think about being that congregation that's filled with whole life worshipers, then we kind of even begin to look outside in our city. And the hope is that we would be worshiping this true God, and the people that are tired and weary would come in and say, let me tell you where you can find truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, great. We're going to be back.
Yeah. One more week in chapter four, talking about the harvest.
Good.
So a lot of how you just ended will lead us into next week.
Great. We'll look forward to it.
Great.